From the land of the free and the home of the Chiefs, this is the Locked On Chiefs podcast.
Touchdown, Travis Kelce!
And that is your victory call. Didn't think the Chiefs were going to get this one. It's going to be quite a show. Matt Derrick's coming up. But we got to tell you that we're brought to you by Pepsi. Thanks to a lack of natural athleticism or commitment or overbearing sports parents, less than 1% of 1% of 1% of people ever play professional football like tonight. But instead of entering the NFL, they join another league, the League of Football Watchers. This football season is definitely different, especially after a night like tonight. And Pepsi is there to get you ready for game day no matter how you play. Pepsi is the refreshment you need to power through game day because Pepsi isn't made for those who play the game. It's made for those who watch it. Pepsi made for football watching. Now, like I said, Matt Derrick is coming up. We're going to get into all kinds of details. There's a ton of questions going on. And right now, I'm just kind of relishing the fact that we're here, and that's another W. I'm Ryan Tracy, the founder of Rogue Analytics, and your host at RGR Football.
And I'm Chris Clark. Thank you all for listening. We really do appreciate it. And a little bit early, but happy Thanksgiving on this week. We have a little bit to be thankful for, considering Kansas City did pull off a victory. Jumping into this game, though, 35-31 Kansas City, this game really looked like it could be a Kansas City loss going into the second half. I don't think that their defense ever really seemed to get into a groove at all throughout the entire game. And a couple of big plays from the Raiders, and it would have been a different ending for this game.
You're not kidding. And for me, somebody who thinks defense first, Chiefs Kingdom, I know you're upset. You're preaching to the choir. I'm just as frustrated as you are because the defense didn't seem to show up. Yeah, I mean, to be honest, the defense didn't seem to show up. They didn't seem to have the attack that they normally do. This is coming off of a bye week. We'll get into the details with Matt, but just bigger picture, man. Was this like a letdown because the team felt like, hey, Andy always has us prepared off of a bye. We don't have to be that intense.
You know, honestly, I think that that this game, I think that they were a little too intense in some aspects. I don't think that the offensive line and defensive line really showed up to play their best games of the season. I think the offensive line did really well keeping Patrick up and not having him get hit, but they weren't making any holes, and that's been a problem throughout the season. So that's something that they got to get figured out, and I'm really curious as to how that's fixed. We do know that there's going to be an incoming player in the form of Stefon Wisniewski coming in the next couple of weeks. Mitchell Schwartz is on IR, so he probably won't be back. He's not going to be back at least for two more weeks after this game, but it's possible he might not be back till the playoffs at this point. We just don't know what's going to end up happening with him. But it did sound like, from what I saw before the game, Sammy Watkins should be ready to go for the Tampa Bay game because he was dealing with a minor calf injury.
Yeah, and folks, we're going to cover all the injuries as they progress, but like you got Sammy coming back. Witz is back in the fold, so a lot of old friends are back on this roster. A little information on Wiz. He did have a pec tear early in the season. He played one game for the Steelers, his hometown team, and now he's back with the Chiefs. They're going to rely on him to get up and rolling. I honestly didn't see anything from Alec Grady tonight that made me think that he has to be replaced, but that's going to be a competition. Look for Wiz to take his time. I don't think he's going to have an immediate impact. But this offensive line is tore up, and that is a nice way of putting it.
Yeah, and I still don't understand why Kilgore's not the starter center. I thought he played with a little bit more fire and gave them a little bit more pop. Obviously, I think Ryder gives them the ability to reach blocks a little bit more and moves a little bit better. But at the same time, I just don't see the benefit there. With the way that this offensive line has been playing, I think that you need to have the power in there so you can get the running backs going when you have the ability to. You know, honestly, this game, what it comes down to, Travis Kelce had a monster game. You absolutely thought that he was going to have a good game. He had a monster game, 8 receptions, 127 yards, and a touchdown. The touchdown to win the game at the end, huge play by him. And honestly, that wasn't even my favorite Kelce play. My favorite Kelce play tonight was Patrick Kelce's running a route going the other side of the field. Patrick peels off and runs down the other side. Kelce turns around and sprints out to get open, gave his quarterback a place to throw the ball, and Kelce caught the ball, and it was a first down. It's plays like those that just make this offense very, very hard to defend, and it's going to be almost impossible to stop going into the playoffs.
Yeah, saved the play and saved his QB. Good for him. I mean, and two things stand out to me. Obviously, the volume that Travis Kelce got, but also 14 targets for Tyreek Hill. Yep. Finding ways to target him, that's what's important. You could take all those 8 targets away from DeMarcus Robinson for all I care.
Absolutely.
And coming up tomorrow, we'll go over stats, plays, snaps, the whole 9 yards.
And when we get back, we're going to talk to Matt Derrick of Chiefs Digest and get his take on this game. You know from listening to the show that staying in shape is part of my routine. That's why I love Echelon Fitness products. When it comes to getting or staying in shape, nothing feels as good as the feeling of accomplishment, of hitting your fitness goals and feeling great about yourself. Echelon can get you there.
Echelon offers you the next generation of connected fitness bikes, mirrors, rowing machines, and all their Stride Smart treadmill. No matter what your fitness level is, what your activity is, Echelon can have a fun and challenging workout in the comfort of your home. Their world-class instructors will motivate you and thousands daily, live and on-demand, studio-level classes always available when you need them. Unlike their competitors, Echelon is affordable for everyone. One membership lets up to 5 family members work out at the same time. And right now, you can try Echelon Fitness equipment at home for 30 days. Go to echelonfit.com/NFL. That's echelonfit.com/NFL. Thanks to the lack of natural athleticism or commitment or just overbearing sports parents, less than 1% of 1% of 1% of people ever play professional football. But instead of entering the league, they've joined others. The League of Football Watchers. This football season will be different, and Pepsi is there to get you through game day, no matter how you watch. Pepsi is the refreshment you need to power through any game, any day. Because Pepsi isn't made for those who play the game. It's made for those who watch it. Pepsi, made for football watching. Well, that was certainly fun, and we have Matt Derrick, at least as long as we have him, before the pressers begin. And Matt, I have to say, I didn't think I was going to be this upbeat in talking to you. How are you hanging in?
just want to say real quick, fun is not what I would use to describe
that. I'm stunned.
So I got to jump
stunned
in.
That you call that fun.
I'm trying to pump it up a little bit, fellas. Jeez.
That was for I think most Chiefs fans, I'm assuming that was about 3 hours and 18 minutes of misery and 59 seconds of glory.
Right. Note to Raiders, don't give Patrick a chance with a 2-minute offense. That's just what it comes down to. All game long, we watched
the kind of Raiders do give them a chance with the 2-minute offense. Right. Just saying.
All game long, we watched them take the under. We watched them have some mistakes, a lot of penalties in this game, which is a little unfortuitous. Matt, but they got it together in the last minute 54. That's just what you can't let Patrick Mahomes do to you, right?
Yeah, you can't do that. I mean, you know, there wasn't a whole lot of ways for the Raiders to have stretched out that game there at the end. I mean, the Chiefs probably did their best on defense to let the Raiders try and run a little bit of clock. But you know what? They got down the goal line. I mean, they were kind of in no man's land. They had to pretty much put it in at that point. And yeah, I mean, they end up leaving the, you know, you can't, I don't know how much time you can't leave Patrick Mahomes. But no, what, a minute 54? No, that is not too much time. That's way too much time to leave him.
With at least one timeout, if not two. I can't remember if it was two or if it was one. But yeah, you can't leave him there in that situation. But you also, you know, the thing that gave Kansas City the chance to get the ball back when they did is because they had so many penalties down on the goal line. I just, how do you have that many penalties on so many big plays? And, you know, I'll give Chris Jones the benefit of that, the doubt on what was it, a second or third or second and short or third and short, where he jumped off sides trying to make a huge play and trying to get the fumble and it almost worked. I'll give him the benefit of the doubt on that, but you can't line up off sides.
No, you can't. And you're right. You know, I thought that the jumping off sides penalty, I mean, that was close. I mean, looking at it full speed, I didn't think it was a penalty. I mean, yes, agreed. He did technically jump, but he hadn't crossed the line yet before the ball snapped. He just, I think, timed it that well. I mean, I think he picked up on it and knew when the snap was coming and was just literally maybe a tenth of a second too fast. But no, I mean, but that's part of the bigger overall picture to me, which is that this defense played sloppy tonight. I thought they played with energy, but they played sloppy. I mean, guys out of position, you know, just not making plays, not getting off the line of scrimmage. I mean, penalties, it was across the board. I thought just the overall tackling, sloppy performance from this team.
You know, I'm glad that you bring that up. I didn't think the defensive front had much energy to begin with. They came on. In fact, to the point now, I'm going to call this defense the Karate Kids because they got the snot beat out of them early and they had to get their backs up against the wall before they pulled it all together. But it is kind of a tale of you've won a Super Bowl. You've gone through this season. You've only have one loss, and this is the team. As much as you don't like them or you don't like having that loss on your record, you have to get your back up before they put you down in this like 2-minute drill kind of situation.
Yeah, and you know, I know that the numbers aren't going to look better once we get like the pressure numbers and everything. That's not going to look a whole lot better because there was no pressure on Derek Carr tonight.
But that's a huge problem.
Yeah, I mean, the Chiefs had zero sacks and one hit from Chris Jones, and I mean, that one hit's completely out of my mind because I don't remember it. Derek Carr had no pressure tonight, and that's definitely the fault of the defensive line. I mean, that front four has got to be able to get that. I didn't like the rest of the play either. I mean, I thought that, you know, you saw guys over pursuing. I mean, that's why I say I thought there was a fair amount of energy. It was just the wrong kind of energy. They seem to be over pursuing, you know, just committing too early, getting out of position.
Does it seem like to you they were a little amped up for this game?
A little too much. I expected them to come amped up, and I think Ryan's right. I mean, I saw a lot of ampage from everybody but the offensive and defensive lines. I mean, everybody else seemed like they were amped up. And on defense, maybe the linebackers in secondary looked a little too amped up.
Yep. Causes you to over pursue. And we've seen Mahomes have issues with being over amped, I think, for games in the past. He, to me, looked like he was right on point. I just want to jump in here and say we cannot get Sammy Watkins back soon enough in this offense. Say what you want about different players. DeMarcus Robinson, I really don't know what to say because you just killed several different situations tonight for Kansas City.
Two drives came down on his play, period. And I'm not going to like rub it in or anything. Oh, wait, maybe I will. But Matt, I mean, this is something that clearly they have injuries. They have guys out. But at some point, you have to look for others to step up. It's curious to me that they brought Mecole Hardman in late. I wonder if that's just, you know, quote unquote, hangover from the COVID situation that he was in. Maybe he didn't have the energy and they only wanted to break glass in case of emergency. But continuing to feed DeMarcus Robinson was not the plan that was working tonight. Are you surprised they didn't go away from that earlier?
I mean, I'm not to a degree because, you know, remember, Mecole Hardman hasn't practiced with this team since before the Carolina game because of the bye week and going on the COVID list and only coming off on Saturday. And the most that he would have been involved with this team would have been through Zooms. And yeah, you can do a little bit of install there. But that's why I think that we probably didn't see him most of the game until Pringle got banged up, because they did all of this install with the idea that Hill, Robinson, and Pringle were going to be their three guys.
But here's my problem with that. I don't have a problem with what you're saying when it comes to the offense, but as a special teams person and as a punt returner and a kick returner, he has the ability to step into those roles without really having to be in the meeting rooms. Those aren't really specific plays near as much. It's all kind of set way ahead of time. So I don't understand why they weren't using him there.
Yeah. And that's going to be a good question is just, you know, as far as, you know, how he physically felt, you know, he did come in there at the end in the kick return game when after Pringle got dinged up. But yeah, I mean, we'll see. I mean, I'm guessing a little bit of it was the layoff and that they would have preferred if they didn't have to probably use Hardman at all tonight. I'm not sure we saw even Garrett Dieter get any offensive snaps. I'll have to look at the snap counts in the morning.
Yeah, I don't remember seeing him at all.
But they played it with a pretty short bench at receiver tonight.
And it's one of those things that I think if it wasn't for the Pringle injury, you probably might not have even seen him late, which may have actually cost them because you did have that big play down that final drive. And that comes back to the one thing that you can rely on is they went to Tyreek early. They got to him a little bit late. And Travis Kelce is the stalwart, but he's not the only one. A lot of credit should go to Clyde Edwards-Helaire tonight because of the way that he ran. The offensive line patched together as it is gave him some room to run, but it wasn't big, and he made a lot of yards himself tonight. I was really impressed with him.
Yeah, I saw a lot of maybe 3-yard runs that he just by sheer will turned into 6 and 7 yard runs. There weren't a lot of holes there tonight. The Chiefs offensive line, I don't think they got the same memo that the Raiders offensive line got. Because the Raiders offensive line seemed to catch pretty on early that the officials were not calling offensive holding tonight and held all night long. And the Chiefs avoided holding like the plague. So there was nothing there most of the night for the run game. Yet, you know what? Edwards-Helaire and Bell had a couple of pretty good runs. But Edwards-Helaire did exactly what we've kind of seen from him, which is that he has that ability to just tack on a couple of yards at the end. Sometimes it's only 2 or 3. Sometimes he's going to break it for 15 or 20 more or a long touchdown. But it's those little small 2 to 3 yard gains that are going to be big.
Yeah, and what I want to say real quick, and not to take away from Clyde Edwards-Helaire, but I also really appreciate what I saw from Eric Fisher. While he did struggle at times, he got hurt in the second quarter, and he gutted it out through the rest of the game, and really, I felt, did pretty well blocking from Mahomes' blind side. I mean, obviously, Crosby's going to get a little bit of pressure, but I thought Fisher played a pretty good game, and I was excited about what I saw from Bell running the ball, but the thing that really stood out to me late in the game was they're still going to Darrell Williams when it's a 2-minute drill, or they are trying to run the ball, or sorry, not run the ball, run the clock and you know, get into position to score at the end of the game. I find that interesting that they're not using Clyde in those scenarios at all.
Yeah, I mean, I, and the only thing I can really read into that is that if the Chiefs are in a ball protection mode, then Darrell Williams is probably their guy. I mean, no, he's not the fastest. He's not the most elusive. But he is the guy that they trust to be exactly where they need him to be, who's got pretty sure hands, who they don't feel like is going to fumble the ball. He's not going to take too many risks. He's not going to take too many chances. He's going to be able to protect. I mean, he is their kind of little Mr. Consistent. That's what they call him back there. And we just continue to see it late in ball games when whatever the situation is, they seem to have like having Darrell Williams back there late in the ball game.
Yeah, and I just want to say real quick, I'm not trying to be critical of Darrell. I really like Darrell Williams as a player. It's just interesting to me when you have Le'Veon Bell and you have Clyde Edwards-Helaire, you're going with a guy like Darrell Williams. But I really like what he brings to the offense, so I appreciate that he's here. So not trying to attack the guy.
You better not be. I'm going to tell you. Again, people will complain about him not getting out of bounds on that last pass that he caught. But you have to remember, that's dictated by the coverage. That's where the outlet had to go to. It's not necessarily his job to make a huge play out of it. But again,
he's better than Anthony Sherman.
Hey, that's fighting words.
Built Bar is back along with Built Go and has some great new things for you to try. Some of them are flavors. Some of them are new mixtures, new concepts in what Built does. So check out Built Bar, Built Go, and the whole nine yards. My personal favorite still remains that caramel brownie. And I like that coconut one as well.
Built Bar is great for the health-conscious guy. Lose or maintain weight while indulging in a delicious treat. Bars are low-calorie, low-sugar, high-protein, high-fiber, and great for the keto diet. Go check out the peanut butter. It has 19 grams of protein, 180 calories, 5 grams of sugar, and 5 grams of net carbs. It is absolutely delicious, in my opinion. Go to BuiltBar.com and use promo code LOCKEDON, and you'll get 20% off your next order. Use promo code LOCKEDON for 20% off at BuiltBar.com.
Maybe Anthony will come on the show and we'll talk to him together. But Matt, this leaves me as we are going away. clearly got the win. We're able to piece it together, but there are a lot of questions. I thought Spags was slow to adjust in terms of the defensive backfield. We don't know why Juan Thornhill wasn't playing single high all night. We don't know what happened with Legarius Sneed. I am going to back my guy. I don't care if he's calling vets out that aren't doing their job. More power to him, because they took him out for a while. And then he came back in miraculously on that last drive and made a couple of stops. So I'm here for this. Is that overblown, or what are the biggest questions that stand out to you?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, I've got a lot of questions. I'll be interested to look at the snap counts, because I thought that Thornhill probably played more than we think, because I do think he was playing when he was in there. It was a lot of single high. And it's just that, I mean, yeah, the Chiefs weren't playing it a whole lot. And we did see that if they were playing shallow coverages, they were preferring to have Matthew in there as the free safety and then Sorensen playing up on the line of scrimmage or in the box. And yeah, I don't know what the best strategy is. I mean, you know what? Steve Spagnuolo seems to think that this is it. There's no doubt. I mean, Juan Thornhill is the better athlete, but the Chiefs feel like that there's something that they trust in Dan Sorensen, who had a terrible night until the final play of the game.
Until he comes up big again, like he did against Los Angeles last year.
And it helped that Derek Carr made a terrible throw, but he made the biggest play of the game defensively.
Yeah, I mean,
thank you for not dropping a gimme.
Very true, very true. I think Dan can plant himself there at the 50-yard line pretty confidently at this point. And that says a lot. Like you said, it's ups and downs, and he came back. But I thought particularly, and I hope that you're right when we see the counts, because I would question why you went away from Juan Thornhill in that particular way. I thought they played a lot of zone early and got pretty much torched by it. And I thought they were slow to come around on some of the adjustments as well. And a lot of Chiefs Kingdom is angry at Spags. I can see a little bit of that. I thought the adjustments should have come a little bit quicker, but I thought the Chiefs really got exposed in the secondary for what they are, things that are their natural deficiencies. Bashaud Breeland isn't going to run with Aguilar if you give him a free release. He doesn't have the speed to do it. But I thought in the end, despite penalties and everything else, they brought it together in a way that they could play team defense, and it helped them get this win.
Yeah, and, you know, I think we're going to have to just acknowledge that the Raiders offensively, especially the offensive line, has played two pretty good games against the Chiefs. I don't know that it's entirely, you can put it all on the Chiefs defensive line in the front seven and the pass rush, that they haven't gotten any pressure, because I think part of it is clearly the Raiders just played really well against Kansas City. Whether that's, you know what? And I mean, that's a target. I mean, that's the two biggest games on the Raiders schedule this year. This is what they circled all along. So the fact that they're there, I mean, that says a little bit about the Raiders as a team, that they are getting there. But I do think it's disappointing that you've got two games against the team in your division that you looked like you weren't real familiar with them. I mean, the Chiefs defense just did not look like they had any comfort with this Raiders team at all this season. And I think that there are fair questions for Steve Spagnuolo on this, just that as far as the adjustments that they made, the strategy they came into both games, he admitted that they came in with a bad game plan against the Raiders the first time around. I'll be interested to see what he says about this game plan, because I think it was the same way. I don't think that they came in with the best game plan that they needed for this game.
I want to say really quick, I was, you know, I'm really appreciative of Snead, and I really like him playing on this defense. We don't know what happened on the sideline. I don't think we'll ever really find out what happened on the sideline, just because that's the way the Chiefs are. So generally, we probably won't figure it out or be told what happened. But I do think it's very interesting that the person that went over there to try to calm him down was Chris Jones. Chris Jones has taken a completely different role on this defense and has stepped up in leadership a lot like Kelsey has on the offensive side. And I love seeing it because Chris Jones is probably the defense's best player.
Yeah, I wish we'd be able to see more of that video that NBC showed us. But and here's my just 2 seconds of griping. We would know what happens around the sideline if this was any other season. But with it being a COVID season that we can't get into the locker room and talk to guys, yeah, we're not going to find out probably what happened. It is for a while, but we'll get the real story. So off my soapbox and complaining about 2020.
I got a couple of connections. We'll see if we can get somebody to talk. But bottom line, I talked a lot about how preseason I thought that Gruden and Carr might get their act together. Is this just one of those things where Gruden has a feel for Spags and that there is something that has to be changed because he's just kind of got his number?
I mean, I think you got to think that at this point, because like I said, I mean, this is, you know, a couple of games now that Spags has not been having a game plan. It's entirely prepared for the Raiders. But I do. I mean, I do give a little bit of credit. I mean, maybe I give a lot of credit to the Raiders and to Carr, because this is a different Derek Carr than we have seen in the past. He played in this game and with a lot of swagger. I mean, and that's an attitude that we haven't seen from him before, usually because he's turning the ball over so many times against the Chiefs that he's got his head down and there's nothing he can do.
Yeah, thank you for that, Derek.
You know, he hasn't been like that. I mean, you saw a very confident and I love, all the things I hate about 2020, I love having no fans in the stands so you can hear the players and you can hear these calls.
That is awesome.
And you get Derek Carr saying, yeah, no, I'm good. We're good. We're good.
Can you tell someone to tell Chris Collinsworth to shut up so I can hear more of what the QB is calling?
I would love to do that. Yes.
I will say it was very entertaining to listen to the Raiders and listen to Derek Carr with all the different checks that he had at the line and all the different names he was throwing out there and all the different
Golden State Warriors that he could come up with.
Yeah, it was great. You look at this game for me, honestly, Kansas City, I'll be honest, I was actually expecting, you know, going into halftime that Kansas City was going to lose this game. Mainly because the defense didn't look like they were going to be able to get their act together at all. And if they're not able to step up and stop the Raiders, it doesn't matter what the offense is going to do. And with Mahomes' interception at the end of the first half, which is still on DeMarcus Robinson, in my opinion, it was going to be really hard for Kansas City to come out and win that game. One thing that we did see, and we thankfully don't have to talk about this week, Harrison Butker made all of his PATs.
That is right. And I'm instead we just get to hear about the kickoff. So going out of bounds.
Yeah, but you know, that was a choice by Tobe to do that. And
I agree. I think it was strategic in some way. So.
Right.
So we lost Matt to the post-game pressers real quick, but didn't get a chance to ask him. When you look back at this game, the ups, the downs, the comeback that it was, who gets your game ball?
You know, it's really hard for me to choose where I'm going on the game ball. I think, you know, you can't give it to anybody defensively. I think the defense just didn't play up to par the entire game. And, you know, Dirty Dan had the big interception at the end, but he didn't play well most of the rest of the night from what I saw on first watch. So I think I have to go with, Travis Kelce. I think Clyde Edwards-Helaire played really good in the first half, but Kelce was just clutch all the time.
Yeah, I tell you what, I'm going to give it to a unit because I'm a cop-out, but that offensive line, banged up, is not even covering it. Bremer's like showed up out of the blue. I didn't even think he was going to play. He was actually fairly solid. Fish gets hurt, looked like a hyperextension to me, which is always painful. Wasn't able to really move very well, like for three quarters of that ball game. And you didn't see Patrick getting pummeled. Now, he was on the move a lot, I admit that. But overall, that unit kept them in the fight enough to let Patrick be Patrick. So,
how did you like Travis Kelce's, pass?
You know, that is one that I will break down this week because wrinkles upon wrinkles upon wrinkles. Now Patrick was the diversion. I thought it was great. The next thing is that Sherm goes back there and underhands it to Kelce. That's what I'm waiting for.
Yeah, no, thank you. I'd rather see Chris Jones go back there and underhand it to Kelce.
That would be fun.
And you know Chris Jones wants to do it, so.
You got to have him as a dive decoy first so you can kind of set it up. Yep. But yeah, I think it's going to happen. Folks, let us know what your favorite play was.
I just got to say, Mahomes played really well. That interception, you know, it is what it is. What, 26 touchdowns on the year now? Something like that? 28 touchdowns? Sure. Somewhere. And two interceptions.
Yep.
He's phenomenal. And, you know, I felt pretty good going into that last drive, what was going to end up being the case. I'm sitting here looking at Mahomes' numbers. 34 for 45. For 348 yards, two touchdowns, and I'm like, meh. I mean, you know, it just. And yeah. Travis Kelce had a drop early in the game where Mahomes would have had another completion, which, you know, whatever. But Travis Kelce with eight receptions for 127 yards and a touchdown, and he was not near as wide open as Darren Waller was, but he was pretty wide open.
Yeah, at the end of the day, get the job done. I thought it was going to be 35-21. It was 35-31. I was wrong, folks.
Well, I was
at the end of the day, they have a W, and that's what matters. Yeah, and now they have, amongst all the tiebreakers, they're still ahead. So this is not, I don't want to dismiss the Raiders. Good for them. They are a much improved football team.
Yes, they are.
So credit to them. Credit to John Gruden. I like his style. I like the fact that he came out swinging for his pal Andy. And it almost got done. So credit to you. But at the end of the day, this division belongs to the Chiefs yet again, unless something miraculous happens. And I expect the Raiders to get into the postseason and do some damage.
Yeah, well, I don't know that I would call it miraculous. But yeah, unless something happens the end of the season, I think that this division will end up being Kansas City's. The Broncos and the Chargers, I don't think, are going to beat Kansas City. So we will see how that ends up. Thank you all for listening, and we will be back to talk to you more tomorrow.
Ryan Tracy is the founder of Rogue Analytics and the host of RGR Football on YouTube. Follow him there. Chris Clark is a senior analyst at ChiefsDigest.com, where you can get his work. Rate and review at Apple Podcasts and subscribe on your preferred podcast platform. Thank you for listening.